its conclusion only after my daughter joins me in the House of the Dead. It lies upon thee to destroy Belium, though this shall surely cost thee thy life. But how may I destroy a thing of such power? Sparhawk protested. Keep thou my ring in the place where I have concealed it. Should all go well, return it to my daughter when she sits again in splendor upon her throne. But should she die, continue thy quest for Belium, though the search takes thee all the days of thy life. And when it comes to pass that thou findest it, seize the spear in the hand which bears thy ring, and drive it into the heart of Belium with all thy might. The jewel will be destroyed, as will the rings, and in that act shalt thou lose thy life. Fail not in this, Sparhawk, for a dark power doth bestride the earth, and Belium must never fall into its hands.
Sparhawk bowed. It shall be as you command, my king, he swore. A sigh came from the sarcophagus.
It is done, then, Aldrius whispered. I have done what I could to aid thee, and this completes the task which I left unfinished. Do not fail me. Hail, then, Sparhawk, and farewell.
Hail and farewell, Aldrius. The crypt was still chill and empty, save for the ranks of the royal dead. The hollow whisper had fallen silent now. Sparhawk rejoined the parts of the spear, then reached out his hand and laid it over the heart of the leaden effigy. Sleep well, Aldrius, he said softly. Then, with the ancient spear in his grasp, he turned and quietly left the tomb.
This has been an Audible Frontiers production. Executive producer, Steve Feldberg. Production managers, Mike Charsick and George James. Produced by Gail Hendricks. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 1989 by David Eddings. Audio copyright 2008 by Audible Inc.
The saga of Sparhawk's quest continues in The Ruby Knight, Book 2 of the Elenium. Here's a special sneak preview.
Sparhawk smiled briefly in the darkness. It was seldom that he had the opportunity to hear the casual conversations of the enemy. He had long suspected that the soldiers of the Primate of Samura were motivated more by greed than from any sense of loyalty or piety. He stepped out of the alley and then jumped soundlessly back as he heard other footsteps coming up the street. For some reason, the usually empty nighttime streets of Samura were awash with people. The footsteps were loud, so whoever it was out there was not trying to sneak up on anybody. Sparhawk shifted the short-handled spear in his hands. Then he saw the fellow looming out of the fog. The man wore a dark-colored smock, and he had a large basket balanced on one shoulder. He appeared to be a workman of some kind, but there was no way to be sure of that. Sparhawk remained silent and let him pass. He waited until the sound of the footsteps was gone, then he stepped into the street again. He walked carefully, his soft boots making little sound on the wet cobblestones, and he kept his gray cloak wrapped tightly about him to muffle any clinking of his chainmail. He crossed an empty street to avoid the flickering yellow lamplight coming through the open door of a tavern where voices were raised in bawdy song. He shifted the spear to his left hand and pulled the hood of his cloak even farther forward to shadow his face as he passed through the mist-shrouded light. He stopped, his eyes and ears carefully searching the foggy street ahead of him. His general direction was toward the east gate, but he had no particular fanaticism about that. People who walk in straight lines are predictable, and predictable people get caught. It was absolutely vital that he leave the city unrecognized and unseen by any of Annius's men, even if it took him all night. When he was satisfied that the street was empty, he moved on, keeping to the deepest shadows. At a corner beneath a misty orange torch, a ragged beggar sat against a wall. He had a bandage across his eyes and a number of authentic-looking sores on his arms and legs. Sparhawk knew that this was not a profitable time for begging, so the fellow was probably up to something else. Then a slate from a rooftop crashed into the street, not far from where Sparhawk stood.
"Charity!"
the beggar called in a despairing voice, although Sparhawk's soft-shod feet had made no sound. "Good evening, neighbor," the big knight said softly, crossing the street. He dropped a couple of coins into the begging bowl.
"Thank you, my lord. God bless you."
"You're not supposed to be able to see me, neighbor," Sparhawk reminded him. "You don't know if I'm a lord or a commoner."
"It's late," the beggar apologized, "and I'm a little sleepy. Sometimes I forget."
"Very sloppy," Sparhawk chided. "Pay attention to business. Oh, by the way, give my best to Platum." Platum was an enormously fat man who ruled the underside of Samura with an iron fist. The beggar lifted the bandage from his eyes and stared at Sparhawk, his eyes widening in recognition. "And tell your friend up on that roof not to get excited," Sparhawk added. "You might tell him, though, to watch where he puts his feet. That last slate he kicked loose almost brained me."
"He's a new man," the beggar sniffed. "He still has a lot to learn about burglary."
"That he does," Sparhawk agreed. "Maybe you can help me, neighbor. Talon was telling me about a tavern up against the east wall of the city. It's supposed to have a garret that the tavern keeper rents out from time to time. Do you happen to know where it's located?"
"It's in Goat Lane, Sir Sparhawk. It's got a sign that's supposed to look like a bunch of grapes. You can't miss it."
The beggar squinted.
"Where's Talon been lately? I haven't seen him for quite a while."
"His father's sort of taken him in hand."
"I didn't know Talon even had a father. That boy will go far if he doesn't get himself hanged. He's just about the best thief in Samira."
"I know," Sparhawk said. "He's picked my pocket a few times." He dropped a couple more coins in the begging bowl. "I'd appreciate it if you'd keep the fact that you saw me tonight more or less to yourself, neighbor."
"I never saw you, Sir Sparhawk,"
the beggar grinned. "And I never saw you and your friend on the roof, either."
"Something for everybody, then."
"My feelings exactly."
The Ruby Knight by David Eddings, the next book in the Elenium Trilogy, is available for download today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.